herzlich willkommen zu einem neuen Jahr Otto Talk. In diesem Podcast sprechen wir mit Persönlichkeiten aus der Umgebung und reden über Themen und aktuelle Neuigkeiten, von denen ihr noch nichts wusstet.
Gute und willkommen zu einer neuen Otto Talk Sonderfolge. In dieser Folge werden uns Ali und Gabriel aus dem Englisch LK das Buch The Vanishing Half vorstellen von Britt Bennett. In dieser Folge geht es um die nächste Generation der Hauptcharaktere Jude und Kennedy und inwiefern sie was von ihren Eltern vererbt bekommen.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of I'm Ali.
And I'm Gabriel.
Now, last week was a bit of a marathon, wasn't it? We finally wrapped our upper series on A Song of Ice and Fire books. I have to say, dissecting the character arcs of Daenerys Targaryen and Jon Snow, specifically where George Martin has left them rather on the page, it left me a bit emotionally spent.
Tell me about it. I think I've spent more time analyzing Jon's last chapter in A Dance with Dragons than I have with my own homework. It was a massive deep dive, but man, after all that talk of prophecies and frozen walls, I'm definitely ready to talk about a different book.
Oh yeah, I reckon we all are. It's time to step away from theories about the next book, which I doubt will ever come out, and move into something a bit more, contemporary. Today we're shifting gears entirely to look at Britt Bennett's The Vanishing Half.
And honestly, Ali, this one stayed with me just as long as after finishing Game of Thrones.
Winter is coming.
But this one is not about who sits on the throne, mm-hmm. but it's definitely still about power, but about the power of identity and the secrets people have to keep just to survive in the world.
I'm really excited to share my thoughts on this one. It's a multi-generational story about the twin sisters, Desiree and Stella Vinnis, who grew up in a small black southern town named Malad in the 1950s, I guess.
Yeah, 50s.
And then take two completely different life paths.
Yes, exactly, Ali. But the main focus of this episode isn't the entire novel itself, but their daughters, rather, Jude and Kennedy. Today we're going to be diving into the topic of how children carry the unresolved choices and traumas from their parents.
Yes, that is the heart of it. So let's kick things off by discussing what those unresolved choices and traumas even are. What are Desiree and Stella running from?
Well, to understand what they're running from, you have to look at where they're from, which is Mallard in Louisiana, which is a tiny town, which is obsessed with light skin. And the twins watch their father get taken and then killed by white men when they're very young. And that's like the first huge trauma the twins experience. They end up running away then to New Orleans when they're 16 to start new lives.
Yes, that is correct. So after running away is when the unresolved choice happens. Desiree eventually returns to Malad as an adult, running from an abusive marriage. Stella, who is passing his way, chooses to stay in her new life. She marries a white man. She would have a daughter. And she never really tells anyone her secret. Not her husband, not her daughter, not anyone. No one knows she's black.
Yeah, so to make things clear, we have the twin sisters. One is embracing her black identity in a black town. And the other twin completely erased her past to live as a white woman. Now, both decisions, I think, are direct responses to that childhood trauma of their father being murdered by white men. And I think them seeing that at a very young age taught them that being black in the United States was dangerous during that time. And they never really process that experience, that trauma. They rather split apart because of it.
Yeah, I sometimes struggle with Stella, though. But part of me feels like her choice was, selfish.
Well, see, I don't actually agree with that. I think Stella was scared, terrified. I don't think she did the passing for freedom, but it was more about, surviving in a country that she knows is racist. I mean, she saw her father get, killed for being black, so...
Well, that's fair, and maybe the real issue isn't the choice itself, but everything that comes after it. which brings us to their daughters, Judy and Kennedy, who are the ones who have to live through the consequence of their mother's decisions. They've never even met each other, but their lives are completely shaped by their mother's choices. Let's turn to them. How do these choices play a role in their childhoods?
Yeah, so let's take Jude as an example, who's Desiree's daughter. She grows up in Mallard, and she has very dark skin, which also marks her as an outsider in her mother's hometown. Growing up, she's always bullied by the other kids. They call her insults like a quote-unquote tar baby.
Mm-hmm.
So her childhood is defined by this feeling of, you know, not belonging with the other kids,
mm-hmm.
which is directly caused by her mother's choice to return to a place, a colorist town that she knows judges people based on their on the color of their skin.
Let me also add, it's so painful because her mother's choice to come home was supposed to be safe, but it creates a whole new kind of trauma for Jude.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's turn to Kennedy, Stella's daughter, that is. Grows up in a wealthy white world in Brentwood, Los Angeles. Her childhood is one of privilege, but it really is just built on a lie.
Exactly, yeah, a complete lie. I mean, Kennedy, she grows up completely unaware of her mother's past
mm-hmm.
or the family she comes from. And I think at home, growing up, she senses this emotional distance and also tension, even though she doesn't understand why. Because Stella, she's always always anxious,
mm-hmm.
always has this need to maintain this white appearance that she made. And this creates like an atmosphere at home
mm-hmm.
that Kennedy unknowingly inherits. So this ends up with her carrying the secret of her being white, even though she doesn't even know it.
Okay, lightning question. No overthinking.
Okay.
Which choice caused more harm, Desiree returning to Mallard or Stella passing as white?
I'd say Stella's, because she erased her entire history. And I mean, Kennedy growing up, she had no family that she could visit, or, you know, always felt this like distance with her mom because she would never tell her about her family. So I think definitely Stella's.
That's interesting. I'd actually argue Desiree's, because it's placed Jude directly back into a system that was guaranteed to hurt her.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing about the book. I think both choices at the end of the day were meant to protect them, but they actually
mm-hmm.
did damage to the children.
Wow, that's an interesting point.
Yeah.
I mean, and it seems like these traumas and unresolved choices they inherited from their mothers, of course, will affect their lives in the future as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Jude, you know, growing up always felt invisible or, you know, not noticed by the other kids. I mean, in a social sense, because, you know, she experienced a lot of colorism in Mallard.
Mm-hmm.
She becomes incredibly driven and motivated to become noticed in the world. She works very hard in high school to earn a track scholarship to UCLA. She
mm-hmm.
works multiple jobs to get through college
mm-hmm.
and eventually goes to med school. So I think her career and her later life is about, you know, proving herself and creating this stability that she never experienced growing up in Mallard. So, and I think there's like this fire, this motivation
mm-hmm.
there that comes from that childhood struggle. Now, Ali, tell us about Kennedy.
She literally grows up performing a life that isn't hers, speaking of metaphors. She becomes an actress. I'd say that's very fascinating. She literally makes a career out of performing identities, which is the exact unresolved issue of her mother's life.
It's an interesting observation.
Stella performs being white, and Kennedy performs characters. She's searching for something, but she doesn't know what that is quite.
You know, that's a great point. I think she's looking for a sense of self because the one her mom gave her feels empty or, like, not complete. So, yeah, her career is not about stability or proving herself like Jude's. I think it's about exploring herself, exploring her identity and, you know, maybe escaping this feeling that, you know, this feeling of not knowing her past.
Precisely.
But these unresolved choices and traumas also affect different aspects of Jude and Kennedy's lives.
Which brings us to the relationships of Jude and Kennedy. This is where it gets really messy.
Yeah, really messy.
How do these traumas and unresolved choices show up in how they love?
Yeah, I mean, for Jude, it's a bit difficult. She falls in love with Reese, who is a trans man. And I think, in my opinion, they connect because they both understand what it's like to be judged or feel out of place in the world, to maybe live in bodies that don't fit society's expectations or bodies they're not comfortable in. I mean, Reese feels he was born in the wrong body. Jude is bullied for her body. But also, Jude struggles with trust and abandonment, which is understandable since her mother was so hurt by Stella's vanishing. So I think her relationship is really about finding someone who sees her completely and who she truly is, which she didn't experience in her mother's hometown.
Right, and there's a beautiful quote on page 303. You didn't just find a self out there waiting. You had to make one. You had to create who you wanted to be. Even though Sarah said this is still shows the idea that identity isn't something that is already decided, that is, you know, predetermined or anything, but something created, chosen and lived, which is Desiree's story. Something Jude internalizes as she builds love and trust with someone who really sees her for who she is.
That just gave me goosebumps.
Yeah.
Now, Kennedy's relationships are a whole other story. They're performative, they're unstable, and all of her relationships don't really last long.
Yeah, I think that's due to the instability she sensed but never understood at home. She doesn't know how to have a real, you know, connection or anything because her whole life is built on her mother's lie. Her mother's choice to pass is why it created this issue when it comes to relationships.
Well, that is true until she met France in New York.
But that relationship didn't last that long either.
Yeah, but it's Kennedy's first, like, meaningful relationship. She meets this smart, confident Haitian man who's very connected to his, you know, black culture, which is something, you know, growing up in a white neighborhood, very privileged, still quite foreign to her. It's unknown, this black culture.
And do you think that is why she's attracted to him? Because he's black and she unknowingly perhaps wants to get closer to the identity her mother's been hiding.
Exactly, that is what I was thinking. I believe France showed her everything that she was not and what she could have been if her mother had been honest about her, you know, past, about being black.
And talking about France and everything Kennedy could have been actually made me think of something.
Yeah, you mean like one of those what-if moments.
So let's try a little thought experiment. What if Stella had told Kennedy the truth about her identity when Kennedy was 10?
Whoa, that's huge. I think Kennedy might have grown up feeling more connected to her black heritage instead of this empty feeling of herself, of her own identity. Maybe she wouldn't have felt the same pressure to perform constantly, and maybe she would never have become an actress.
Exactly, and for Stella, admitting the truth early could have meant facing her own fears of rejection. But maybe it would have started healing the traumas she carried from Mallard.
Yeah, and think about Jude. If Kennedy had known earlier, maybe their eventual meeting would have been less awkward, less like these two random strangers discovering this, you know, hidden family.
It really shows how small choices or secrets can echo across generations.
Yeah.
One decision creates so many possible worlds. So what happens to Jude and Kennedy when they finally meet?
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah, you could say their worlds eventually collide. Yeah. Jude and Kennedy finally meet. But it's weird because it's not this magical healing moment the reader might have expected.
Nope.
It's more like this awkward, you know, awkward moments since they share this big history with each other but are so different in so many different ways. So
yeah, it forces them to confront their struggles. For Kennedy, it breaks the illusion of her being white that Sarah created. For Jude, it's confronting the aunt who chose to vanish, who represents the path of her own mother that she didn't take.
Yeah, and that really makes you wonder about, like, the next generation, too. You know, what kind of inheritance would Jude and Kennedy's own kids receive? You know, if the cycle of inheriting trauma would continue or if it would maybe finally shift?
Jude's child growing up with a mother who has actively built her identity from the ground up with Reese, a partner who truly sees her. That child might inherit not a secret, but a story.
Mm-hmm.
A difficult one, in fact, but an honest one. They might inherit resilience and the knowledge that identity is something you can claim for yourself.
Right. This sense of, you know, being seen from the start for who you are, rather than having to fight for it. Whereas Kennedy's child, I think that's a bit more complicated, especially if, you know, Kennedy's still figuring out who she is after the truth finally does come out. Her child might also still inherit that uncertainty about herself. Or if Kennedy finds a way to, you know, integrate her past, her child could be the first one to grow up with a full, you know, sense of heritage that, you know, Stella didn't have. I mean, she erased her entire past, and, you know, Kennedy not being told who her family is. I think that's something Kennedy and Stella never had. They could be the one to finally, you know, live in a house that's built on a solid ground and not some hidden foundation.
Yeah, so the cycle can break. But it takes conscious work, you know. Jude is doing that work by building a life of her own terms.
Yeah.
Kennedy, by finally learning the truth, has the chance to start that work for herself and for any family she might have in the future as well.
You know, that actually, talking about this really reminds me of my grandma. We never really asked why she left her home country. Whenever anyone asked, she just, you know, tried to change the subject, wave her hand, maybe even leave the room. And like, we all knew it was a big deal, but it was just like this blank spot in our family history. And I think growing up this way made me really, you know, curious about different family secrets, made me think about what other secrets are not being told to me. And it always just made me feel like this piece of the story was missing.
And that's incredible that you can relate to that. For me, it's taking another shape, because reading this actually forced me to look in the mirror a bit. I found myself relating to Kennedy in a way I didn't expect. Not the wealthy Brentwood upbringing, obviously.
Yeah.
But that sense of performance.
How so?
Think about it. In our line of work, or just in culture generally, there is this pressure to keep a stiff upper lip, right? To present this polished version of yourself to the world. I often feel like I'm code switching between podcast Ali, you know, the one who's confident and has all the words, and the real me, who is actually quite filled with doubt. Kennedy struggled to find out who she is when the audience leaves. That really struck a chord with me. It's that classic imposter syndrome, isn't it? Wondering if the foundation you're standing on is actually solid.
Yeah, I mean, doing podcasts myself as well, I think I can definitely relate to that. Thank you for sharing that, Ali. And I think what we can learn is that we're all sponges for these inherited traumas, for these traumas our parents maybe carry, or our grandparents. But in the book, the cycle does start to break, but only slowly. Jude, even though she knows all the painful stuff about her family and where she comes from, she at least knows it, and she can learn how to deal with it. But Kennedy, she finds the truth out at the very end. So her whole life was built on a secret she didn't even know, and now she has to figure everything out from scratch.
You know, I actually liked the ending for Kennedy. It was painful, but now she can start fresh, you know, knowing the truth.
Yeah, that's right. But now something that maybe doesn't have anything to do with the topic. Did you know they're going to make a TV show about this book?
Oh, yes, I've heard of it. You know, I really hope this takes another direction than, you know, how Game of Thrones went. You know, I mean, don't get me started on season 8 or the ending. The book is so much more about what's inside a person's mind, their secrets and fears. How do you show that on screen?
Right. Like, how would they even show Stella's secret in the... I mean, in the book, we know her thoughts. But on TV, I think the actress would have to show it all in her face. And I think that's going to be difficult.
Yeah, and there are so many different places in the book as well. The small town, the big city, all the different time periods, it will be a big job to make all those worlds feel real.
Yeah, but I'm also interested to see some parts because there's some pretty powerful scenes in there. Like when the sisters running away as teenagers, or the moment their daughters finally meet. I think these scenes will definitely feel different to everyone if you can see them instead of reading them.
Yeah, and like all live adaptation, it will be a new way for people to find the story. Mm-hmm. Maybe someone will watch the show and then want to read the books too.
True. But thinking about the TV show, you know, makes me appreciate the book itself even more. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the writer, Britt Bennett, she had to build all this in our imaginations first. She couldn't show us what she wanted to show us, so... Mm-hmm. Anyway, we've been talking about family history and secrets all episode.
Now we want you to think about yours. Was there a rule in your house that never made sense?
Well, to wrap things up, what's our final take?
Yeah, so in a nutshell, the Vanishing House shows us that the choices we don't solve, the traumas we don't face, don't just disappear. They get passed on in different ways.
Yep, they absolutely do. And the children, they have to decide what to do with that inheritance. To kind of visualize it, you can imagine the inherited traumas like a house. This is a metaphor. Do they live inside it forever? Do they renovate it? Or do they find a way to somehow leave and build something new?
Yeah, well, overall, The Vanishing Half is an interesting, necessary read. I think you'll find it stays with you, making you look at your own family stories in a new light. And if you enjoy The Vanishing Half, you might also want to check Passing by Nella Larsen, the classic 1929 book that explores similar themes of racial passing with incredible tension. And if you just want to learn more about the themes of the book in general, The Source of Self-Regard by Toni Morrison has some interesting essays and speeches on identity, race, and the past.
Yeah, and if you've already read the novel, The Vanishing Half, and you're interested in, you know, the generational trauma aspect from a more historical perspective, mm-hmm. I'd recommend the book Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome from 2005 by Dr. Joy DeGroy. She really shows the effects of traumas being passed on through generations mm-hmm. in racist America.
And before we go, a quick thought from us. Hosting this episode really made us reflect on the book's themes in a personal way. For me, digging into how Jude and Kennedy carried their mother's choices was powerful. It reminded me that stories like these aren't just fiction. They mirror the quiet legacies, you might say, in our own families.
Absolutely, and for me, preparing and recording this taught me how much thought and how careful you have to be when analyzing a tough topic like this. And I learned a lot about how parents' stories affect their kids' lives, even if they don't talk about it. But for me, the most challenging part was for us to show you guys such a, well, kind of a difficult topic in an easy-to-understand way without oversimplifying the topic.
Yeah, but that is the point, isn't it? These conversations really do matter. Thanks again for joining us. Keep reflecting and reading.
Bye-bye. See you next time.